still gets me every time. To see the sad ruin of the great ship sitting here, where she landed at 2:30 in the morning of April 15th, 1912, after her long fall from the world above.
Wanda, it kind of sucks we have to start this Oscar recap show with the sad news of Bill Paxton's passing. We just had to put that little tribute out for him.
Yeah, I mean, ever since we started the blog in 2013, Bill Paxton's combined one of our favorite actors, and just really just a almost like a Swiss Army knife of an actor. You know, he's never necessarily the main guy you think of in a movie, but everywhere he's featured, he's great, and we've, for whatever reason, took a pretty big liking to him. So,
yeah,
and I mean, for him to kind of pass away as sudden as it was, for, I know they said complications from surgery, but on the day of the Oscars, like of all days, the one day of the year where you're really celebrating movies, it's very sad. So
it's too bad. It really is. It he was one of my favorite He was one of my favorite actors growing up as a kid. He was in, I mean, he was in Aliens. He was in Terminator. He was in, he was just a great character actor.
Are we missing?
I don't know. What's going on here?
I don't know.
Corey, what did you do? I wanted to tell you what happened. I opened the envelope, and it said, Emma Stone, La La Land.
What?
That's why I took such a long look at Faye.
Wait, what is happening? Hold on.
Did La La Land not win?
Hold on a second.
Well, you were funny. Thank you very much.
Wow, this is
Moonlight, the best picture.
What?
No way.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Okay.
All right. That's not possible.
What is going on?
That can't be.
Is terrible. Okay. All right. Just to fill everybody in, we're going to have to do a little bit of editing on this podcast.
So go ahead.
What's his name?
Warren Beatty.
Yep.
Announced La La Land as the winner of Best Picture, but he was reading the card beforehand, which was Emma Stone from La La Land. But Moonlight was the winner.
Moonlight was the winner. Wow.
And it is true. It's not fake. We've been on the road with these guys.
Oh, my God. So, because they had the whole cast and crew and everything of La La Land up there.
That sucks. Wow.
How does that happen?
Wow.
That has to be the first time that's ever happened, right?
That sucks. That's terrible. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right.
Because I tweeted like a La La Land thing for Best Picture, but I don't know what to do now.
I was going to say we start right from the beginning and talk about the podcast and talk about the Oscars, but I think we got to start with this.
Yeah.
So La La Land was running away with it for a little bit.
I mean, they still won 7 awards,
and including Emma Stone,
Damien Chazelle,
actress. But apparently, Moonlight is the winner of Best Picture and not La La Land. This is amazing. This happened live right here on the podcast. I can't believe this. Lindy was just lighting up my text, like being like, this is an Oscar emergency, is her exact words. Oscar emergency. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? I can't believe that.
That sucks for all the people that are involved.
Because
they were on
stage.
Imagine
celebrating on stage and then having that pluck from you. Damien Chazelle getting a pluck. I mean, okay. They won a lot of awards.
They won 7.
They won awards. But imagine they have getting plucked from you still. Still.
Wow. That's crazy.
That sucks.
You know what, though? This is a sign that, you know, maybe once you hit a certain age, I know it's nice to celebrate some of the main actors and actresses of the 60s and 70s and stuff.
You gotta stop.
But if you can't read a goddamn card,
you shouldn't be,
or don't put them in Best Picture. Like, mess up the sound editing.
That's unbelievable.
You know, don't, I mean.
But anyway, I thought that this was a great Oscars.
Yeah.
I thought this was.
I really enjoyed it.
One of the best of most, you know, recent memory, I thought Jimmy Kimmel killed it as a host.
He has a perfect personality for it, especially the opening monologue.
Yeah.
It's a perfect tone. He didn't, thankfully, didn't get too political because that's not what we're watching.
Yeah.
If anything, it's an escape from that.
He did the type of comedy that would happen any other presidential cycle.
Right.
He did the type of stuff that's just like prod and make fun of whatever. You know what I mean? High level, didn't really get into the nitty gritty. And also, acceptance speeches didn't really get too political either. Which, I'm not going to say it's good or bad, but it's nice for me to watch an award show and not have to worry about, I don't know, like anything.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you almost watch it as an escape from that.
Someone just said in the comments, seriously, La La Land, not a good movie. I don't know what La La Land movie you guys watched, but it was a great movie.
No, it was still a great movie. Just because it didn't win, just because Warren Beatty can't read a card doesn't mean it wasn't a great movie.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I loved it. And like we were talking about before we came on here is, I think once there's a level now of how popular something can become. And then once it reaches that peak, it tumbles over the other side.
Yeah.
And there has to be this visceral hate towards the same thing. I mean, with Casey Affleck, for different reasons. Yeah. But with La La Land, it was just all of a sudden, a couple of days before the Oscars, I'm reading all these articles about how there's only white people in the movie, and it's not a good movie, and Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone aren't good singers. And I'm like, look, if you want to find a reason to hate something, you're always going to find a reason to hate something. That doesn't mean something's bad. I also hate when people say something's bad. Say you didn't like it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it bad.
Yeah, no.
You can say you didn't like it. That does not make it bad. Because what's the movie that you made that's better than La La Land?
Yeah.
That got nominated for an Oscar.
I always really hate the just like saying this is bad.
Right.
Like
say you don't like it.
It's a cop out for having an opinion for something.
Yeah.
When you have an opinion for something, you should either... You either really like it for a certain, and I'm not even saying just for if you don't like something. Even if you like something, you should have a reason for why you like it. You shouldn't just like something and not like something. You should have reasons for it. And just like you were saying, like when things get hyped up too much, and then you have to have people to just take the opposite stance,
it falls off that.
It happens in so many different things. It happens in the world of video games. I see it firsthand with like games getting hyped up and pre-orders and all that stuff, and then people have to oppose it. It's just a thing that has to happen.
Well, the thing I think what enhances it is now with social media, with the Facebook, with the Twitter, with the whatever you have.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Everyone has an opinion.
Yeah,
it's no longer like you can't just read an article off someone who might be doing this their whole life and that's what they write about and they're an expert on it or something.
Yeah.
It could be anybody who writes and says it's, you know, something sucks or something's good. And then people jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a peak now for how good or how much you can enjoy something before it starts to falter off.
Yeah.
The cynicism takes over.
Yeah.
And then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But I agree. Overall, I thought it was really good. I thought he did a good job. I love the Jimmy Kimmel, Matt Damon feud continuing.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was hoping it was gonna because he's hosting. But they kind of went above and beyond for it.
It was good. And you could definitely tell that Matt Damon's in the dark on a lot of what happened. I mean, when he was getting played off when him and Ben Affleck came up to give...
Original screenplay.
Original screenplay.
Yeah.
I mean, he clearly did not know that he was going to get played off. It was awesome. I loved that back and forth between them.
I did too.
And that was another reason why I knew Jimmy Kimmel was going to be a great host. He really did kill it.
He really did.
You couldn't really ask for much better than that.
No, I agree.
I don't even know who I would like to see Jimmy Kimmel come back next year and host, but I'd also like to see somebody new every year.
Who would now say who? Do you have somebody in mind who you would like to host?
When I was tweeting, I saw a lot of people saying they'd like to see The Rock host. I don't know. I think he could. I really do. I think he has that personality to do it. I don't know if he could do a whole show of funny. Like when he was in the WWE, he does like, you know, he does his little, you know, The Rock show. He comes out with the guitar. He does
three
his
to five
little
minute
bit,
thing.
And that's it. Do you really think he could sustain like an entire three hour award show?
I don't know. I'm a big Rock fan, but I think when you're looking for a host, you zero in on who can deliver a solid monologue to open the show and then expand from there.
Sure.
You need someone who can do that.
Yeah.
Like, The Rock could handle all the other 30-second parts of introducing presenters and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you can't nail that monologue...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying it has to be a comedian. You could be like a Neil Patrick Harris or a James Corden, somebody like that who would... You know, do more like a musical number. It doesn't have to be a stand-up act.
Yeah,
I can't see The Rock doing a solid 12 to 15 minute opening monologue of something.
I don't know. I don't see that either.
No,
I just I don't know. I think he has the right. Like I said, I think he has the right personality. He's like when he gets in front of people, he lights up a room.
He does.
But it's just I think but it's, the it's, Oscars is different.
And I think it's because it's a limited engagement.
Yeah.
When you see him live, it's what he did tonight.
Yeah.
It's what he used to do in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, it's that 5 minute thing, and like, oh, that's good. And then you turn 5 into 10 into 15, it's like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's like enough of it. And honestly, it would probably be a lot of the same jokes.
Yes.
The Rock is big.
Yep. He's handsome.
The Rock is handsome. Then those are the same jokes that happen over and over again.
Right.
You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. But like with Jimmy Kimmel, he has another thing that's good about with Jimmy Kimmel and like people like him. The King of Queens guy should do the next Oscars.
Kevin James.
I gotta be honest with you.
That's a wild card pick, but I like it.
That's not a bad pick. So, like I was saying, like with guys like Jimmy Kimmel hosting the Oscars and shows like this, they have a lot of rapport with a lot of the actors and actresses in the stand because they're on the show all the time.
They're interviewing them.
You have better, like, not inside jokes, but you feel more comfortable with them, and they feel more comfortable with you poking fun of them. If they had someone that's like an outsider, that's like not an outsider, but someone that doesn't like deal with people coming on their show all the time, like I guarantee Jimmy Kimmel had 99% of the people that were nominated for awards on his show over the last couple months. Yeah, because of ABC, because of the way it's like that kind of thing. Even though Jimmy Kimmel dropped the ball to the Golden Globes, but still. It's just stuff like that. I think guys like him.
And I think that's why people had such a big problem with Ricky Gervais.
Sure.
He wasn't.
He's not an insider.
He's a writer. He's British. He's not. So when he's making fun of you, it's more real.
You're absolutely
It's not like your buddy poking fun. It's like, hey, this guy's saying something. And he doesn't hold back either.
No, absolutely
He's
not.
More brutal. Yeah. He's like, look, I don't give a
the Mel
crap.
The Mel Gibson thing, he did a couple. Was that the Oscars he did or was that the Globes?
Where I think it was the Globes.
He left the beer on there. Because he didn't host the Oscars.
No. Because that's his whole stand-up shtick, is he drinks the Guinness or whatever. When he does the stand-ups, he has a beer, Foster's. He has a beer, like, on the bar stool. And, like, instead of, you know how some stand-ups drink water?
Yeah.
Like, he has a couple of beers.
Okay.
And it just helps him get loose and stuff, so.
Yeah, but that's a great analogy. I mean, it's the same with, he's an outsider.
Kevin James would be interesting. I kind of want to see a Kevin James Oscars now.
I don't even know. I know he's doing that show Kevin Can Wait. But I'm sure he has some time to host the Oscars in between.
I can't imagine that takes longer than a week to film a whole season.
He went from TV show, hugely successful TV show, to I'm not going to say not successful movie career, but he's back in TV now. So we'll just leave it at that.
I mean, I would like, I don't know. I mean, I'm partial to like a Kate McKinnon type of thing. But again, I think you have to have the strategy of building from the monologue and then out from there.
Yeah.
Like anybody can do introducing the presenters or the bit when they had the people come out from the tour bus and dropping candy from the ceiling.
I like that kind of stuff.
It doesn't take that special of a person.
Do you think it's important for the presenter to have musical talent as well? Like,
I think it can't hurt because like Kimmel can't do it.
No, but Neil Patrick Harris a few years ago, he was in the opening monologue.
Lin-Manuel Miranda,
you read my fucking mind. I don't know how that's exactly who I'm thinking of. Lin-Manuel Miranda would kill hosting the Oscars.
Yeah.
He is awkward funny, but it's not unbearable awkward funny. It's like endearing awkward funny. And obviously, he's good in front of thousands of people.
He hasn't fallen off that peak yet.
No, he. I think next year he would be a shoo-in for... If they don't do
especially
Kimmel,
the way he did on SNL. I mean, that's live TV. I think hosting SNL is way more stressful than doing something like the Oscars.
Sure, yeah.
Because you're trying to play different characters. Here, he would just be playing himself. He's obviously amazing at live singing and stuff. So
yeah, I think he would be great. But I don't think it's a deal breaker having someone that can do singing and dancing. But it is kind of cool when you can have a guy that like breaks out into dance. Now, the good and the bad of it is, the good of it was Neil Patrick Harris, because he's a delight. The bad of it was Seth MacFarlane. Seth MacFarlane hosted, he's funny, and he does have that sort of inside with, like, Hollywood, you know what I mean? Because he works with a lot of different people, and he does movies, and he does his TV show. But his musical numbers were crass and, like, you know, funny humor, but not really good for the Oscars.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Like, they had, like, a whole song about boobs. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like... Okay, it's something for all humans. It's like, this is what we were expecting. But, right. But they're the two opposite of the spectrum.
Yes.
I don't think it's necessary, but it would be nice.
It would be.
It'd be nice to have someone to show their like artistic ability to be able to act, because Jimmy Kimmel's not an actor. He's a comedian.
Right. So he's got the stand-up part down and stuff, but I mean, I can't think of a person better than
And it's cool, like, you bring things like Guillermo. You bring things like Mean Tweets, which the Mean Tweets section of the show was funny.
Well, it was. And funny. I think I don't know if they're going to continue doing it, but I know they wanted to use a late night host.
Yeah. Someone just said Seth is more VMAs, not Oscars. Perfect. I totally
agree.
That's
perfect,
I totally agree. Like, a more laid-back, casual, like, award show.
Like, you're not going to listen to a song about the boobs on the Oscars. Yeah. You know, I'm going to listen to John Legend, and I'm going to listen to Justin Timberlake. Yeah, yeah. But that's perfect. That's a perfect comparison.
I thought, speaking about the musical performances, I thought they were awesome.
They were.
I thought John Legend was great. I think that, I love that song Audition. I thought Emma Stone did a great job. One of the biggest gripes that everybody had was Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling aren't the greatest singers. I had no problem with that in the movie. It was a great movie.
Some authenticity to it.
But you have John Legend sing that song. It's like chills.
It gives it a whole new meaning.
He's such an amazing singer. So that was really cool. I like that. And the Moana song.
Yep.
I forget the girl's name, but the rock
was
there.
She was amazing.
She was awesome. She was so good. Even though she got hit in the head with a flag, one of the people twirling the flags hit her in the face.
Like a champ, though.
You got it just continued on. That's that's a seasoned veteran move right there.
Especially on left. And was she 16?
Something like that.
That's insane. I mean, to have that type of composure, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So now, was there any awards that were like a big surprise to you, or any that you were really like meant more to you that the person won?
Well, besides
La La Land not winning Best Picture.
Besides that shock, I wasn't even sure that La La Land was going to win Best Picture. I had a feeling that they had a good chance of winning,
right.
But I had a feeling that it could have been taken away from them by a Moonlight.
By Warren Beatty.
Fences. By Warren Beatty is showing it right now. But he must have felt like, I can't even imagine.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing. This is
Moonlight
has won Best Picture.
I can't. Who is that? Who's the bald guy?
He's one of the guys who.
Is he the Academy?
No, he's one of the like the producers or whatever of La La Land.
Oh no!
So he was giving his speech, and I think he looked down at the card or whatever it was, and it said Moonlight.
Shit! Oh my god, that's terrible. All right. So anyway,
it's tough to get off that though.
I thought it was really cool that Casey Affleck won.
I did too,
especially with his brother there, and especially that like him and Matt Damon gave for original screenplay and Manchester by the Sea won.
Yep,
and kind of like I mean
it was a great.
Obviously they did it because their first script won an Oscar.
Yeah,
Good Will Hunting.
So it was cool to kind of give that to and Matt Damon produced it and I guess that I was reading an article where Matt Damon was the one who, I mean I don't know how true this is, but he was the one who kind of put Kenneth Lonergan over the top to actually write the script. You know, to its full capability, and then he's the one who kind of put the money behind it, Matt Damon and his production company. And then Matt Damon was supposed to be in the main lead, the main character, and then he couldn't do it because of scheduling. But see, now I have a problem with people saying that Matt Damon gave up an Oscar-nominated role. That's not an Oscar-nominated role just in anyone's hands.
Absolutely not.
It's the actor who plays it. Because you put a lesser actor in Casey Affleck's role, and it's not the same movie, and it's not an Oscar-nominated role.
No.
But he played that role so emotionally well, and really like a shattered person after this horrible event happens to him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was not an Oscar-nominated role without Casey Affleck. Casey Affleck made it an Oscar-nominated role.
Yeah, that's like saying, that's like if someone passed up on the script of the Titanic and they were like, they passed up on an 11-time Oscar-winning movie.
Right.
It's like, that's not the case.
No, because in James Cameron's hands, it made that movie, you know, with Bill Paxton discovering it.
It's, Bill
his hands are in everything.
I can't believe that, man.
I know.
I mean, I hope we gave enough due to him at the beginning of the show just because of what the fuck was going on with the Oscars and that crazy shit. But rest in peace, Bill Paxton, man. That's too bad.
A lot of good movies. Apollo 13, Titanic, Alien, Twister.
Yeah. He's in a lot of movies. And then he was also,
Young.
He was training.
Not
his best. He was training for. Well, no, I'm sorry.
He was in Training Day.
Training Day,
the TV adaptation. Yeah.
So that's too bad. Hopefully,
Big Love.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was a big. Right? That was on HBO.
That was huge.
That was a big show. It's too bad. But they didn't. I was surprised they did not put him in.
I wonder what that process is, because Jennifer Aniston was the. For those of you who didn't watch it. She specifically said his name, which when she said it, because usually the in memoriam you don't mention anyone specifically. They just do the video montage and it's done. But she said we're doing the in memoriam, including our friend Bill Paxton, who passed away today.
Yeah.
So, which made you think that they somehow don't have the capability to add him in, or maybe they, maybe I don't know. I know they have it. Maybe they.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure. Maybe it was one of those things where like they didn't want to mess with it. It was like set up just right.
So you just say
how hard? How hard could it be though to add in one person? I don't want to knock because I'm sure
because even the most important ones like Carrie Fisher, I'm missing some other. I know there's a lot of John Hurt, like guys like that. I mean,
yeah.
Even the most important ones, they just kind of had their picture, and then it was like a 5-second clip.
Yeah.
It's not like they were doing these 30-second, 40-second clips.
Yeah, I would have been fine with just, Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
I was just trying to think of that one. Yeah, Gene Wilder. Thanks, Periscope viewers. KB20911.
Nice name.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to knock it because there's a million moving parts of the show like this. It's probably not something opening up their PowerPoint presentation and dragging in a picture of Bill Paxton from Twister and calling it a day.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a little more advanced than that. You probably got to clear it through how many people ahead of you like to get that confirmed, and they're probably already set up for the day and everything. You know, by the time this news got out. So yeah, I'm not gonna hate on for that. But,
no. So just to go back to Kimmel for a second, because I was taking notes during the broadcast, I have my favorite joke.
Okay.
From Kimmel.
Okay.
And it was like in the middle of the broadcast. It was actually after O.J. Made in America won for Best Documentary.
Yeah.
And they go to him, and he's like, you know, am I supposed to make an O.J. joke now? And the crowd's kind of silent. He's like, I'm not going to make an O.J. joke. You know what, O.J.? You get an extra piece of bologna on your sandwich.
Yeah, tonight. That was good.
And the crowd's silent. And he's like, and halfway through the show, everyone turned on Kimmel.
Yeah, that was good.
For making fun of their beloved OJ.
That was really good.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I didn't think we'd be doing this still in 2017. That was good. I think that, I don't know, there was a lot of funny moments, but I don't think a joke, I mean, there was a lot of jokes I laughed at, but I think one of the funniest moments was when Mel Gibson, for Best Editing, right, it was Best Editing?
Yeah, Hacksaw Ridge one.
Oh my god, when the editor went up to receive the award, and he was like motioning to Mel Gibson, and they cut to Mel Gibson, and he just like does this thing, and he like puts his hand up, and he like, then he goes like this, and he like has his fist clenched, and he like moves his wrist forward. And then, like, but shakes his head and laughs.
Eyes were like,
but he was locked in. They need to stop with the cutting to, like, people in the crowd. Yeah. I understand it makes good for the show. None of them are ready. What? They're all so awkward. Michael Shannon.
You know who I don't want to cut to dancing? Michael Shannon. He's not a dancer or a singer.
Michael Shannon always looks like he's not sure where he is, but he's like, he's like ready, but he's not ready.
He's not ready to dance.
Yeah, he's not ready to dance.
He looked like he was like chewing on the side of his mouth.
It's like guys like that. It's like you have to know.
Yeah.
Because these directors that have the shot set up, they're not just cutting to them and then being like, oh shit, they're not doing anything, or they're acting fucking weird like Mel Gibson. They're in their producer's studio. They're in the studio. And there's all these TVs up with all the camera feeds. So you see the guy that has the camera on Mel Gibson. If you see Mel Gibson doing some weird shit with his wrist, you do not cut to that motherfucker. If you see fucking Michael Shannon looking like he's about to murder the person in front of him, don't cut to him. Cut to someone else. There's probably somebody else in the crowd that's doing something funny.
Right.
Cut to the kid from Lion. Cut to anybody else. Anybody else.
I think rule of thumb should be not cut to Mel Gibson.
Cut to Chrissy Teigen. Just thought of it. Moonlight cashed in the briefcase, Mike Bernstein said. That's pretty funny.
They ran in. That's Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Running in, taking it away from Roman Reigns.
So it's like, they know. The directors know. So just, like, go to the guys who, I understand that it means for continuity, but just for continuity's sake, you shouldn't just go to people like that.
I agree.
You don't need to be doing that. Funny stuff. But overall, I thought it was an awesome show. I
did too.
Yeah, it was good. I'm really disappointed in myself that I didn't get to see all the Oscar-nominated movies. I mean, not all of them, not just for Best Picture, those ones. I have a few more to watch. I plan on watching all of them, because this is actually a group that I think all of them I'd be really interested in seeing. As opposed to, like, other years, it's like, I could take a Leave Brooklyn. I don't really want to see The Danish Girl. Like, I'm not my cup of tea. I would legitimately be interested in Fences because of Denzel and Viola Davis. I thought they're awesome. I definitely want to see Moonlight. And there's a few other ones too that I haven't seen. Hidden Figures, I definitely want to see.
Yes, Hidden Figures is very good. I'm surprised that didn't win more.
Yeah, did it win? It won.
It doesn't
none?
Happen. Not on my list here. I mean, unless it won one of the really minor categories, it didn't win.
Yeah, I don't remember it winning any awards. It's too bad. But I mean, it's awesome for them to be recognized.
This is a good year. I mean, I think it's different saying this is a good year because we saw so many of them.
Yeah.
So you have a different opinion on it. Because it's tough to say, oh, this is a good year for movies when you haven't seen any of the movies.
Yeah.
But we saw the majority of them, so I can honestly say this was a good year. So it's not that, like, oh, Hidden Figures got snubbed.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they should have won. It's like, no. I mean, I saw Hidden Figures, and I saw Moonlight, and I saw La La Land, and I saw Manchester by the Sea. And just because it lost doesn't mean it got screwed over. It just, there was a better movie out there.
Yeah.
It was still a great movie and an important movie and a great story to tell, and I'm glad it was told, but...
It was a great year for movies, and I think that a lot of the movies, like you were saying, like like Lion specifically, and what's the other movie? Oh, In Hell or High Water. I think they're two great movies. I just think that with this crowd of this type of caliber of movies, like, you're not going to be able, like, with Moonlight, from what I've heard,
and
La La Land. You're not going to be able, in Manchester by the Sea, you're not going to be able to hold a candle to those guys.
Right.
Only because you're a great movie, but you're just not on the same level as what they're putting out. Great year for movies. Good for people who like movies. Good year for people like
movies.
And
even, I mean, even though they didn't win, you're still nominated.
Yeah.
You know, you're nominated in a really strong year for movies.
Yeah. I just want to give everybody, I just want to give a quick shout out to everybody. We are, just so you know, we do this podcast every week. If you're listening on Periscope, this is for you guys too. We do this podcast every week. We want to get more interactive with you guys.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
If you would like to call us and leave us a voicemail, you can do that. That would be awesome. The phone number is, and I'm trying to find it right now, I believe it's 401-285-8120, I believe is what the number is. I'm going to look it right now. I'm going to double check. I believe that's it, but you can call us and you can leave us a voicemail. And our Twitter, if you want to pitch our social media accounts,
absolutely. So on Twitter, we are at Average Nobodies. Facebook, we are facebook.com/TheAverageNobodies. On YouTube, we are youtube.com/TheAverageNobodies. And we also have the blog, which is AverageNobodies.com. We're everywhere. We're at Instagram, at Average Nobodies.
So just to confirm, the number you will call to leave us a voicemail, and we'll take any questions, any comments, anything you want to run by us, whether about the Oscars or anything else. The phone number is 401-285-8120. I believe that's what I said before, too. But that's the number to call. It's not going to ring. It's probably going to go straight to voicemail, but leave your voicemail there. Leave your name if you want to leave a name. If you don't want to leave a name, don't leave a name. And we're going to play it on air, and we will talk and discuss with it. So,
comment, tip, recipe, advice. Yep. If you want our advice on something, God bless you.
And like Ryan was saying, AverageNobodies.com is where we post all of our written blogs. So check that out this week. We're going to have a Lent blog going up this week. Neither one of us are super religious, but we do follow the, I guess, it's Christian.
40 days and 40 nights. It's mostly because of Josh Hartnett.
Sure,
you know, it's
exactly.
A beautiful film.
It's
I want to pay tribute to him.
So for those of you who don't know what Lent is, you give up something. So we're going to, in this blog, we're each going to give up something for the entirety of Lent. And we're going to discuss
what it is and starts
why.
Wednesday.
Yes.
March 1st.
Yes. Yep. The 1st.
And ends on Good Friday or Easter Sunday.
I'm not sure how that works.
It ends on one of those 2 days. It's either April 16th or April 14th. But it's 40 days where you give up something that the other days of the year you know you're not obsessed with, but you enjoy. So it's an actual, you know, it's actually something that you're going to miss giving up. So
So again, AverageNobodies.com is where you can find that out. You can find us at Average Nobodies. Again, we do this podcast every week. We're on iTunes, we're on YouTube, and we're on our blog. So you'll be able to find us no matter what you have. If you have an Android phone, if you have an iOS device, be sure to leave us a review and a rating if you'd like to on our podcast. It helps us get mentioned, but I think we're going to wrap it up there because it's kind of late and we're just, you know.
East Coast time. We put in a lot of work today.
We put in a lot of work today.
And Warren Betty, God, I can't believe that. That still blows my mind.
Yeah. That's
wild. We had it live.
We did. That was crazy. We had it live on the camera. I might just leave it in. I mean, we're just at 30 minutes right now.
Why not?
Might just leave it in. I mean,
that's an honest to God reaction to probably the craziest, easily the craziest event in Oscars history.
Yeah.
Maybe in live television.
Yeah.
Unless someone got murdered that I don't know about.
For our Periscope people, please go on Twitter and follow us. Go on YouTube and subscribe to us. But most importantly, call in. 401-285-8120. Damn it, can we fuck this up again? Why?
It's only
8120. That's not why. 401-285-8120. Call and leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. We want to get more interactive with our fans. So if you fucking hated what happened tonight in the Oscars, call us up and tell us. If you hate our guts, call us up and tell us. If you love what we do, call us up and tell us. Tell us anything. Tell us about your cat, your dog, your baby, your egg that you're pretending is a baby because that's what you do, and you try not to break the egg. I had to do that in psychology class in high school.
Some people just keep it going.
Some people just like to do that. Bag of flour. I don't care. Whatever. Probably. So call us and tell us, and thanks for listening, and that's
the Average Nobody Show.
That's it, and we'll see you guys next week. Adios.